Hey, let's begin the seventh week of the fantasy baseball season. It's Monday, May 19th. I'm Adam Azer. Hello, Scott White, now Melchior. Did you have a nice weekend, fellas?
Oh, the nicest.
Really? I had a weekend.
At least you had one of those, right?
Yeah.
It's Monday morning. We're going to tell you who the most added and most dropped players are. We have some really interesting pitchers joining rotations in Houston, in St. Louis, in Chicago with the Cubs, in Atlanta, and maybe in Baltimore, and that might be the most interesting one. So plenty to break down.
I wasn't reacting to that. I was reacting to all the changes. Not specifically Baltimore's.
But it is a fun time right now. We lamented that there aren't a lot of starting pitchers out there in some of the deeper leagues to pick up. Well, maybe now is the time. So we'll also go through who Scott and Al added over the weekend. My constant struggle with Billy Burns or Delino DeShields on all of my rosters. and plenty more. Email us fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Hey, watch Daily Fantasy Live, 6 p.m. Who's on it tonight?
Me.
All right. Keith Cummings, Ryan Bass, and Al Melchior. 6 p.m. Daily Fantasy Live, 6 to 7 Eastern on cbsports.com every Monday through Friday. They're going to help you set your lineup. And of course, we have DFS for you. Some advice for you later on the podcast.
You know that Ryan Bass is actually related to Lance Bass.
No, he's not.
Yeah, you're right. I thought it might get some people watching it.
Yeah, the now 23-year-old girls might.
Well, that's somebody.
Watching. Yeah, that's true.
In a demographic we don't usually reach.
It's good thinking there, Scott. What were we going to say, Al?
No, I was just going to say Ryan really loves that association.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's made a point of telling me that.
My brother actually was kind of friendly with Lance Bass at one point. They used to live in Orlando together. So, yeah, they were buds, I think.
Your brother does these, in-between Seinfeld rerun little spots on the local affiliate.
He does.
Yeah. He, talks to people on the street and stuff.
Yeah, he's on TV. It's more than
Dave Azer talking to me.
It's more than I can say. I'm not even on internet video anymore. Okay, let's get started. Email of the day is from Joe in Madison. Dear Adam, Blake, and Anders, is it time to sell high on Shelby Miller, who's so good he gets managers fired now?
I don't think any other pitcher can say that right now.
not at the moment.
He's in a class by himself. But I don't think of Miller as a sell high candidate just because I think he's legit. But, if you can literally sell him high for a true proven ace, that's a deal I would take. But how about Shelby Miller for Steven Strasburg? I think I would take Strasburg.
Yeah, I think I would too, but it's not, the fact that we're thinking about it says a lot about Miller's performance. And you referred at the top, Adam, to, how thin starting pitcher seems to be after the top 60 or so, and having a legit top 40 guy, that's probably the lowest I'd put Miller after this most recent performance.
And that's, maybe it's time to start thinking. Maybe it's time to start thinking about trading. Well, I don't know. Maybe you could take Shelby Miller and turn him into two really good pitchers. Maybe not two great pitchers, but maybe like Miller for Odorizzi and
Hamill.
Sure, or yeah, something like that. I don't know. Just maybe it's time to start thinking about if you want to sell a pitcher. Instead of looking for one player, maybe you get two starting pitchers out of it or something like that to get a little bit more depth. I'm at the point, guys. I don't know. Okay, I guess you disagree. But I'm at the point in a couple of leagues. I just want to say this real quick because I think it's relevant.
Sure.
I don't usually do this. I've never done this in roto leagues, but I'm starting middle relievers now instead of the Chris Hestons of the world maybe where I don't have that much confidence. Maybe it's just for a week until I see more, but I don't like my bench with starting pitchers. I'm starting middle relievers.
And Chris Heston's not even that bad.
Right.
Compared to some of what's out there. As far as your trading one for two goes, that's not the way we usually go about things on here. And I guess I could see it if you really just had only four or five starting pitchers you liked. Fortunately, I don't feel like I'm in that situation, so I would probably be the guy making the deal for Miller.
It depends on the league depth.
Yeah, the deeper the league, the more I like that trade.
All right, so that's Shelby Miller. Let's take a look at a bunch of rotations around baseball and predict the future a little bit. Who's going to be in? Who's going to be out? Noah Syndergaard had a very good start on Sunday. He's 90% owned. Six innings, three hits, one run, one walk, and five strikeouts against the Brewers. But he is not guaranteed a rotation spot when Dylan Jeig comes off the DL. What do you think about that situation, guys?
I think Syndergaard's job is in trouble the way that Mike Redmond's job wasn't in trouble.
Oh, so you think he's staying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see how, especially after these two starts, how they send him down.
How do you feel about Mike Redmond getting fired?
I think it's awful. I thought he was doing a pretty good job. Not his fault that he got swept. The Marlins got swept by the Braves again at home.
And the thing is, they signed him to a two-year extension after last season. They're still paying Ozzie Guillen, so they're going to have three managers on the books here pretty soon. Yeah. Did they name their replacement?
Yes.
Yet?
Yes. The GM, Dan Jennings. I mean, they haven't named it, but our John Heyman has reported that.
Is that
the
amazing?
The manager is going to be the manager?
Yes. Of course.
Is that amazing or what?
You tell this is it's really too bad this is not video, because Scott's expression is priceless.
I was
like dumbfounded.
I was like actually
big league.
They're not really going to have three managers on the payroll. They're just promoting the G or demoting the GM. I don't even know what to say.
That is wild. What is this, the NFL?
Little big league. That's great. Steve Farr and his palm ball, right? Double play. You remember that? That's how he convinced ownership to let him manage?
I'm doing well enough, I think, just remembering the premise.
Well, I guess I one-upped you on little big league trivia. Tsuyoshi Wada is going to replace Travis Wood in the Cubs rotation. He will start Wednesday. Level of interest. Well, you know what? Let me go through the rest. Mike Wright for Baltimore. Terrific start yesterday against the Angels. No runs, no walks, four hits and seven and a third and six strikeouts. Lance McCullers is going to make his Major League debut today for the Astros against the A's. William Perez is going to start for the Braves on Wednesday.
Williams Perez.
Oh, no kidding.
No kidding.
So they're starting two guys or just... Williams Perez is going to start Wednesday for the Braves with Eric Stoltz going to the bullpen. Jaime Garcia will start Thursday for the Cardinals. We'll stop there and look at Wada, Mike Wright for Baltimore, Lance McCullers for Houston, Williams Perez's for Atlanta, and Jaime Garcia for St. Louis.
He's good friends with Kenny Vargas.
Tell me who you guys want there.
Well, I want McCullers. Went after him pretty aggressively this weekend, as I saw you did too.
Yeah. Desperate for pitching.
He was a monster at Double A.
Yeah.
In six appearances, four starts, 0.62 ERA, 13.3 strikeouts per nine innings. I mean, that's a big league, Double A, where he didn't play at all last year to the majors. But yeah, I think he clearly has the most upside of this group.
Yeah, and didn't know too much about William or Williams Perez. And Mike Wright, that was a bit of a surprise too, because in deeper leagues, I figured there was going to be eventually an opportunity in the Orioles rotation, but it was Zach Davies. It was not targeting Kyle Davies in any leagues. But Zach Davies, so I guessed wrong there. And I was wrong on Wright. And I don't think Wright is going to, I think, stick around.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
Norris has been pretty awful.
Oh, I mean, no doubt.
I read the papers this morning, the Baltimore Sun. I can catch up on what they were writing, at least. So,
please do tell.
Norris has bronchitis, and Chris Tillman has a back injury. So in the short term, it's possible that one or both of them go on the DL. Buck Showalter said, basically, we're going to think about it now with, Wright staying in the rotation. And I don't think it was anybody on the team, but the stories obviously brought up the possibility of Bud Norris going to the bullpen. So they're not ruling anything out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, obviously Wright is the next in line if there's a long-term opportunity. And as I said just a couple moments ago, I think there is one. I just don't know if he's good enough to keep it. Obviously, he was great in his debut.
Yeah. Nice. It's always shocking to me, a guy who I don't know much about comes up and he's throwing 98 in the eighth inning. And I don't know. I think that alone makes him intriguing enough to add in, I mean, I guess if I'm being honest, I wasn't adding him in any standard mixed leagues, but I definitely put in a bid for him in my AL only and 24 team dynasty.
But if you
if
had
I knew he was sticking around, maybe I would.
If you had a guy like Di Sclafani or someone that you just don't want anymore and you don't know who you want to add, maybe you take a shot on Mike Wright, who's 10% owned, or Lance McCullers, and you just hope for the best. And if it doesn't pan out, you drop him. But you guys would put McCullers over Wright?
Yes.
Like, hugely.
Okay, okay. What about Williams-Perez and Wada?
Well, those were the two I wasn't really caring to add. Wada was decent last year, and I think he can be decent again. So maybe if it's, you know, if you're really hurting for pitching, I could see adding him. But he would be I'll call Wright a distant second. I would call Wada the distant third behind McCullers and Wright. And then Perez, I don't know what the Braves are seeing in him. I know they feel like he could potentially be a big part of the rotation going forward, but I don't see the numbers anywhere suggesting that. And I hadn't heard of him until they called him up like a week ago. So I don't know.
All right. Jaime Garcia, anyone?
Yeah, there's him. I mean, he's fine if you want two starts and then a DL stash, I guess.
As long as you know that's what you're in for.
Well, he might bump Carlos Martinez out of the rotation. Martinez has been struggling, so we'll keep an eye on that. All right, Doug Fister's on the DL with a flexor strain in his forearm. So they're going with A.J. Cole?
I don't know.
Yeah, not clear. Matt Williams talked about maybe going bullpen.
They only play five games this week. So.
Yeah, so they don't need a fifth starter anytime soon, but when they do, they could go a bullpen game with Roark, Cole, Sammy Solis, Blake Treinen.
I did notice that, I think it was yesterday, Tanner Roark pitched three relief innings, and I don't think he had done that before. So they may be making an effort to kind of stretch him out a little here. I'm hopeful of that because I think just based on what he did last year, he would be the more enticing fantasy option than Cole. And, you know, I guess there's a chance Fister is back before either of them gets a chance. Let's see. Yeah. It was not Roark's first three-inning appearance. It was actually his third three-inning appearance. So maybe there's nothing to that.
All right, so if you really want a starter and you'll go for McCullers first, maybe you'll go for Wright. And what about David Phelps? 26% owned. Now Tom Kohler out of the Miami rotation. Phelps will stay. So how does he rank with those guys?
I put him probably on a par with Wright. And I like Wada about the same, too. And I think in the long run that Phelps sort of is Tom Kohler. So I don't know that the Marlins have really upgraded. Phelps obviously has been very good so far. But
is a relief pitcher eligible, Kohler?
Kohler or Phelps?
Phelps is a relief pitcher eligible Kohler.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
That makes him better than Kohler. Until Kohler gets RP eligibility.
Yeah,
and starts
that happens.
And then there's this last guy that I wanted to bring up. If McCullers is number one, where is Raisel Iglesias? As Jason Marquis and Di Sclafani are both struggling, and he pitched out of the bullpen Sunday, Iglesias did against San Francisco, but that was because Di Sclafani got roughed up early. Where is he in this list?
I think he's on the verge of having a rotation spot. It wasn't a surprise that he was going to work in the bullpen because of the way their off days lined up. But they still have one opening in there before you take out Marquis or anyone else who might need replacing.
And Danny Duffy might lose his rotation spot. He needs to get better. They've got Jason Vargas, who could come off the DL fairly soon. And I think bullpens were pretty interesting, guys. We got to talk about bullpens. Are you ready to talk about bullpens?
I guess.
Okay. No. This is interesting stuff here. Arizona's going to use closer by committee. And the Rangers, the relievers have no defined roles right now. So let's start with those two situations. Arizona and Texas, who are your favorite guys to own right now in those bullpens, including Feliz and Reed?
For me, it would be Ziegler in Arizona and Tolleson in Texas.
Wow, so you think he gets that job over Neftali Feliz?
It's not clear to me, but I think he's actually their best reliever right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I suppose I do, because I just think that over time, now that he's going to be given some opportunities, I would assume, he'll be able to, you know, make enough of an impression to stay in that role.
I think I would still favor Feliz to Tolleson. I think the wording kind of suggests that's what the Rangers are thinking. But, you know, I don't really know. And I think it's worth noting also that both of these situations, with the exception of maybe Colorado, they're the worst. These are the worst two teams for closers. Like, no matter who's closing for these teams, they're going to be at the very bottom end of the fantasy relief pitcher spectrum because...
Well,
they don't often play in low-scoring games.
I feel like Feliz has had... I totally agree with you on Arizona. I think they've had the fewest save opportunities in baseball, right up there. But Feliz has had a lot of opportunities. You know, and I know that because he's killing both of my roto teams with his horrible whip. You know?
Well, if that is the case, and I don't know how many offhands he has, but I don't think it'll last. Just teams that have horrible pitching staffs have the least relevant closers in fantasy. It's been pretty consistent. He's had 9 save opportunities, so I guess that's kind of an average number at this point in the season.
He's thrown 16
in the
third.
Actually, no, a little below average.
Yeah, it's not great.
It hasn't been that many.
No, it hasn't been that many, but it hasn't been that. It hasn't been like Tolleson was a guy that I picked up in my Feliz leagues. And I would drop Ziegler for him because of exactly what you said. Arizona gets like no save chances. But the Rangers, I feel like they get more. Well, at least they have. That's my take on it. And maybe it's just a biased opinion because I've got Feliz on some teams. But well, I understand what you're saying.
I think those things could be fluid too. I'm not sure that there's anything about the particular makeup of those two teams that would make one more of a magnet for saves than the other.
More bullpen news. Steve Cishek threw 2 scoreless innings against Atlanta on Saturday. Non-save situation. Kevin Cash says he could use both Brad Boxberger and Jake McGee for saves. And McGee pitched the 7th inning Sunday at Minnesota. So that stinks. And Jason Grilley's been struggling. Should Jim Johnson be on our radar?
I don't think we're really at that point yet. I mean, if I owned Grilley in an NL-only league, I'd back him up with Johnson. But that would have been the case even before he started struggling.
Kenley Jansen is back to being the Dodgers closer. He pitched in a non-save situation at first, struck out 4 batters, and then he got to save yesterday. FanDuel hosts one day fantasy contests, and there are only 5 night games tonight. So get on there, get on FanDuel.com, use our offer code CBS, and if you do that, every dollar you deposit, FanDuel is going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. Use that offer code CBS, get $200, and there are really good starting pitchers tonight. Matt Harvey, Corey Kluber, Chris Sale, and there are only 5 games, so you're talking 10 starters to choose from. And then you got Cole Hamels at the Rockies, who you're probably not going to start. But we'll break down some lineup advice for you a little bit later. Let's give you some news. We mentioned that Mike Redman was fired, and Dan Jennings is taking over for the Marlins. Hunter Pence is back. He's been really good in 2 games. Starter sit Tulowitzki.
Probably going to start him just because of the position and what else is not available there.
Jose Reyes could begin a rehab assignment this week. Justin Morneau is on the 7-day concussion DL. You might see some more of Willian Rosario. He faces a lefty tonight, so you might see him tonight. Corey Dickerson might end up on the DL. He's got the plantar fasciitis. So what about Drew Stubbs? How you feel about him?
Yeah, unfortunately, a few days ago, I dropped him in the one league where I owned him. Probably somebody better I could have dropped. But, I mean, I don't know. He's been so inconsistent over his career. So with regular playing time, maybe he can heat up a little bit, but he hasn't really done anything so far to get me excited about this opportunity that he's likely to have.
Starter sit Will Myers, wrist injury.
Well, they're hoping he can play Tuesday, but he wasn't at 100% swinging in the cage yesterday, so I'd probably sit him if I could.
Jason Wirth has not played since Friday after being hit by a pitch on its wrist. How about Michael Taylor?
Yeah, I like him, at least in roto leagues. Give you some decent power and speed numbers while he's in.
Carlos Gomez looks like he's going to be okay, and he says he's going to play in their next game. They play tonight against at Detroit. So start Carlos Gomez this week?
Yes.
It's just so annoying. Why does there have to be that one afternoon game? Because we're not going to know anything. We're not going to see the lineups by the time that game is played, and we have to set our line. It's just so annoying. Victor Martinez was unavailable all weekend with the knee injury. Now, they were in an NL park, but apparently he was just unavailable. So starter sit V-Mart.
I actually have been sitting him.
Yeah, and definitely this week, because I think the Tigers, they either face all right-handers or just one left-hander. Or Victor Martinez can't hit right-handers even if he's in.
Weekend standouts. Or actually, pause. Let's do who you guys added and dropped. Not an actual pause, by the way. We're still on the air. But who you guys added this week, who you dropped, major transactions, who you were targeting. Al Melchior, go for it.
All right. Well, I mentioned I was big on Lance McCullers. I didn't add him. No, I take that back. I added him in 112-team league and would have added him in more if he were available added him in my deeper leagues. And Delino DeShields, who I see you have on your list of weekend standouts, I went ahead and took the plunge with him in 12-team roto.
I had him in a couple of leagues, and then I dropped him for Billy Burns. And I just, so DeShields stayed in the lineup. He batted second. They moved Leonis Martin down. They took Carlos Peguero out. But Hamilton should be back at some point this week or maybe early next week. I don't know. I didn't know what to do. Burns is leading off. They seem pretty similar to me. It makes sense of those two guys. They're both on the most added list, I believe.
I would say I actually do like Burns more. I think probably better long-term potential for playing time and I think a more complete offensive package.
Yes!
So good job.
Anyone else? Any other big... I added a lot of guys this weekend.
You added a lot of guys?
Yeah!
Mine were more deep league guys.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one playing in our Memorial Roto League. I've been adding everybody.
You do, you are very active in that league. I think I added somebody in there this weekend, but I'm trying to remember who it was.
This is the problem of having 13 leagues.
Scott's been adding Kevin Gausman, I noticed.
Yeah, yep, he was one player I added in that league. It's a 5 DL spot league, and he's on the DL, and I need pitching. So, I'm glad you brought him up, though, because this Mike Wright thing may throw a wrench in those plans.
Yes, but Scott's also been adding Patrick Corbin and Matt Moore, so it's a good time to start stashing DL guys if they're still available.
It's Corbin. A very good time. Those two specifically. We might only be a month away from them pitching, and they were considered high-end options before they had the surgery.
So. Corbin is only 32% owned. I added James Paxton in a 10-team league. He has a scoreless inning streak, something like 28 scoreless innings in a row. His last four starts, 7 innings, 2 runs. 7 innings, 2 runs. 6 innings, no runs. 8 innings, no runs. Only 2 strikeouts against Boston, but Paxton 73% owned. How do you feel about him?
I feel okay about him. He's right on the edge of that top 60 for me. I just wish there were more strikeouts there, and I feel like he has the ability for them. I feel like the raw stuff's good, but there's been no evidence that he's going to do that, and pitching to contact is always a little dangerous.
Do you have any
ground balls wouldn't kill him either,
Do you have any interest in adding Brad Miller or Curtis Granderson?
Brad Miller kind of turned things on the end of the weekend, didn't he?
Sure did. 3 home runs, 2 Saturday, 1 Sunday.
And he's on a nice, 6-game run, I think, here with 3 home runs and a bunch of doubles. And he's shortstop. I said that when we were talking about Tulowitzki, that I'd probably start him given that there's not much else out there at the position. But as I was saying that, I thought, well, there is Brad Miller and Brandon Crawford, who gets 4 games at Coors Field this week. And I think either one of those would be satisfactory options, at least while they're the hot hand. I don't know that I'm buying into either being a long-term solution in fantasy.
Couple of options in the infield. Michael Franco had a nice weekend. He homered and he had 3 hits in his last 2 games. And Jung Ho Kang is getting some playing time, and he's what, shortstop and third base eligible, I believe. And yep. Franco's at Colorado at the beginning of the week. So how do you feel about those guys? Franco is on the most added list, and he's in the top five. Gong, I think, is a little further down.
Yeah, I really didn't make a move. In fact, I just didn't make a move to get Franco in 12-team mixed leagues, which is largely where he's available. I just really haven't been overwhelmed with what he's done in the upper minors. So, you know, I think he's fine if you can get him in a deeper league. Gong, I have a little more interest in.
Yeah, there's some talk that he might just outright replace Jordy Mercer as the shortstop. Though I don't know how close that is to happening, but it's been discussed. I guess they're satisfied with his defense, because I know that was a concern coming in.
Let's take a look at the most added list. If you guys didn't add anyone, we'll see who the people did. McCullers 1, AJ Ramos 2, Michael Franco 3, Nathan Carnes 4. That's what kind of week it is with two-star pitchers, Al.
It is.
Chris Young, 5.
That Danny Duffy news is good for him.
Yes, it is. Delino DeShields, 6. Ah, Shinsu Chu is 76% owned. Al mentioned his BABIP on Friday's show in the month of May. It was like 500. But, you know, 76% owned for Shinsu Chu. Thoughts?
I think that's perfectly fine. I don't think he's must-owned in a three-outfielder league, but... I mean, even if the BABIP's high, I mean, he's hitting for power, and there's not a lot of that on the waiver wire.
Yunel Escobar and Logan Forsyth and Brandon Crawford. How about those middle infielders? Escobar, Forsyth, and Crawford all in the top 10 in the most added list.
Well, I'm sure a lot of those ads for Escobar were after his last five-hit game. He hasn't had another one, right?
No, not that
I'm
aware.
I didn't think so. I actually have the most interest in Forsyth out of the three, but, you know, Crawford's pretty much right up there with him. But yeah, I think, you know, Forsyth is still a little bit overlooked.
Yeah, he's interesting. On pace for 17 homers, and he has a 370 on base percentage. Nick Franklin is back, though, and I noticed he started at second and Forsyth DH in Sunday's game. I don't know if that means anything. I kind of hope the Rays would bump his Drubal Cabrera out of there and play Nick Franklin a shortstop, because he did, during his rehab assignment, play a couple games at shortstop. But it'd be interesting to see how that playing time shakes out.
Okay. A little further down, we got Ruby De La Rosa, who starts tonight at Miami, Carlos Frias, Mike Foltynewicz, Hector Santiago, Freddie Galvis. How would Galvis rank up there with Forsyth, Crawford, Escobar?
Low.
Well, he's at Colorado this week, so like if you're a too low owner and there's nobody out there.
I actually do think I'm not very interested in Yunel Escobar, but I'd rather pursue him than Galvis.
Couple singles hitters there.
Yep.
Singles alone.
I'm a little surprised that Dexter Fowler is only 73% owned.
Yeah. I agree with that. He's pretty good in both formats now that the steals are up, and he's always walked at a decent rate, and he's healthy, and he's batting leadoff with a bunch of big boppers behind him. So probably deserves a little more credit than he's getting.
Does anybody like Mike Bolsinger, 11% owned?
That's right, deeper leagues. I did see somewhere a comparison between him and Josh Colemanter, whose popularity's got to be, you know, plummeting at this point. I still like Colemanter a little better. But yeah, that's kind of the ceiling for Bolsinger.
Did you guys have any weekend standouts you wanted to talk about that we haven't gotten to yet?
Let's see. Well, I see you got Jay Bruce on your list. I don't think we've actually talked about him.
We have not.
For me, as long as Bruce is hitting for power, I don't really worry too much as long as the strikeout rate isn't completely obscene. And, you know, I think he qualifies for, you know, the sub-obscene category. So, a lot of people have been very concerned about Jay Bruce, but for me, this just confirms that he shouldn't be traded low or dropped.
Adam?
Yes?
I got a couple weekend standouts for you.
All right! Bring it on, Scott White.
I think the most notable hitter from this weekend is a man by the name of...
Brandon Belt.
Brandon Belt, exactly. Yeah. Three hits and a home run in all three games this weekend. And suddenly his numbers for the season look outstanding. It's amazing what three consecutive three-hit games will do for a player this stage of the year. And those were his first three home runs of the year, too. Now, the strikeout rate is a concern because it's 33 and 112 at-bats. That's a lot. And that was something that was going on with him a lot last year, too, before he ended up having that major injury. So I do have some concerns about the batting average, but he gets on base at a fairly high rate. And seems to be playing every day again after sitting for lefties early on. So certainly in corner infielder leagues, he's back to being must-own. It's only 59% owned, so.
Really?
Yeah.
How about that? What was I going to say? You know what we're doing tomorrow?
A podcast?
Yeah, and on the pod, well, Scott's not doing it. Scott can sleep in. We are redrafting the first two rounds.
Whoa, that's going to be radical.
And that is.
I want to see if Bryce Harper is going to be the number two overall pick. I'm thinking he won't be. But I imagine he'll be top five. Because he also had a great weekend.
No spoilers.
He's slugging over 700 right now, playing quite well. Any thoughts, or shall we move on?
Here's the thing about Bryce Harper. So I'm in this league. It's a shallow league, 10 teams, three outfielder league, with minor league spots. And the way the minor league spots work is you can keep a player in them as long as you want until he gets called up. Bryce Harper, amazingly, is in my minor league spot. And he's still in my minor league spot. Now, I could activate him and get him in my lineup and obviously get a lot of production from him. Or I could wait to activate him next year. He would function as like a free extra keeper for me as probably a first round level player. And so I'd have this huge advantage going into next season. It's a dilemma.
How is your team this year?
Five and, do we just have week six or week
seven?
Yeah,
six.
Okay, four and two.
So, I can't imagine you not playing with Bryce Harper this year.
It's a huge advantage for next year. Extra free keeper.
If you think you can win without him, then fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty gutsy.
I'm
disciplined. I don't know if I could do it.
But we don't talk about Bryce Harper as a sell-high guy because of injury risk, whereas, you know, maybe with like a Nelson Cruz, we might say something like that. But Harper's got a pretty bad injury history, so would you guys shop him right now?
There's no way I would.
Yeah. You'd take Trout for him. Anyone else? Or no spoilers. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Scott, you had another weekend standout before I interrupted you?
Clay Buchholz.
Oh.
The fun mystery continues with Clay Buchholz.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about him. I just feel like it's worth bringing up because 11 strikeouts, and that's what his third or fourth start this season where he's just been.
Has it been every other start? Because it sure seems like it has. Like it, one really great start, one really lousy start.
I don't think so, but let me look that up.
I mean, probably not. It just seems that way.
Not quite. This was his third start with 9-plus strikeouts and, you know, combined 2 earned runs between the three starts. So, it's just annoying. Like, I don't feel like you can ever drop him after the bad starts is the frustrating part because if he ever finds some consistency here, and I guess it's a mechanical thing, just like they get so off, so out of whack so easily. Cause you know the stuff is there.
Yeah, he's probably got the highest upside of any pitcher that I wouldn't go anywhere near.
Buchholz or, speaking of pitchers that Al wouldn't go anywhere near, Buchholz or Ubaldo Jimenez?
Yeah, I was going to bring him up too. He just keeps it going.
Yeah, I'll go Ubaldo.
Wow. Are you coming around to Ubaldo at all?
Yeah. Slowly.
No.
Here's the thing. Three out of four, 7-inning gems. This is where we stand now with Jimenez. Through 7 starts, he has a 2.43 ERA, 1.01 whip, and nearly a strikeout per 9 inning. through seven starts, like, I'm not saying that makes him an open shut case, but seven starts of that.
Yeah, but he had, I think he's had two clunkers in there.
Sure, but every pitcher does through seven starts.
Well,
Sale, Kershaw.
Except for AJ Burnett, I guess. But.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, I can't really criticize him. I don't want to bother Jimenez, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It just scares me. Again, I mean, he's pitching with less velocity now, and maybe that's a good thing, but usually it isn't.
Usually
and he's Ubaldo Jimenez.
But, I mean, if the strikeouts weren't there, I'd be concerned. And I know there's some other underlying percentages that are down. I guess swinging strike rate is down. But I feel like we would see clearer signs of the league catching up to it by now if they were going to catch up to it.
I want to remind everyone again to watch Daily Fantasy Live tonight with I forgot who's on it. Al?
Mr. Me.
Mr. Al and Heath Cummings and Ryan Bass. And that's your DFS advice for you at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Matt Cain. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I slide one more standout?
Oh, sure, Al. That's what the...
I know you love them.
I do.
Carlos Carrasco, who's been standing out in a bad way in terms of his stat line, but I think he's a fantastic buy low. In fact, there was one league I was looking to buy low, and then I saw Scott had him. I thought, there's no way Scott's going for this.
Was it the podcast league?
I think it was.
That was where I traded John Lester for him straight up a while back. So yeah, I'm totally with you.
Yeah, no, I mean the peripherals are outstanding. He's just looks like the classic candidate to seemingly out of nowhere have a big surge at some point. I don't know when, but he keeps striking guys out, pitching with control, getting grounders, everything you want to see from a starting pitcher.
Meanwhile, would you rather have Clay Buchholz or Carlos Rodon?
I think I'd,
Maybe we should let Rodon.
I will too. I'm not going to start him now, but I'd rather have him on my bench.
Yeah, I was saying maybe we should let Scott answer since Al's not likely to take Clay Buchholz.
I really had to think about it. I do think there's that chance that Buchholz will string together some great starts, but I've been waiting almost a whole year for that because, second half of last season, really from early July on, the peripherals were looking a lot better.
Now let's do some more injuries news and notes real quick. Matt Cain may not be back until the All-Star break, after the All-Star break. Michael Saunders is out 4 to 6 weeks for Toronto with a knee injury. Matt Latos left Saturday's start after taking a comebacker off his shin, might not be able to make his next start. Chris Tillman, we don't know if he'll make his next start. Ben Zobrist could be getting a rehab assignment Tuesday or Wednesday. Here comes the string of rehab assignments. Ben Zobrist could begin a Tuesday or Wednesday. Austin Jackson started one on Saturday. Masahiro Tanaka could begin a rehab assignment soon, and Melvin Upton will begin a rehab assignment today. Mark Teixeira's day-to-day. Chris Bryant left Sunday's game with an illness. He should be fine. Shane Green expected to start Wednesday. Ike Davis on the DL with a quad strain. Nick Franklin back for Tampa Bay. Kenneth Vargas to AAA, and the White Sox demoted Micah Johnson. So, you guys don't watch Game of Thrones, do you?
Nope.
Well, there's, two things about Game of Thrones. One, it's really good. Two, the number one goal when watching Game of Thrones is to avoid having it being spoiled. It is the most spoiled show in TV history. Everybody talks about it all the time. And then, so if you're not caught up, if you're not up to date on Game of Thrones, you run the risk of somebody talking about last night's episode or last week's episode. So you basically, it's the only show that I won't binge watch because I know I need to keep up with it. But then, there's the group of jerks who have read the book, and they like to tell you all the things that are going to happen in the TV show. So last night, I'm on the train back into New York City, the Metro North train, and I'm sitting reading on my phone, just reading baseball recaps, not in the mood to talk to anyone. And this guy next to me, he's probably about 20 years old, it's kind of weird. And he just goes, "Hey, do you watch Game of Thrones?" Didn't even say hi. And he just, "Hey, do you watch Game of Thrones?" Like, okay, we're gonna do this now. And I was like, "Yeah, I love Game of Thrones." And he goes, "Oh yeah, it's so great. Hey, did you know that?" Bam! Huge spoiler. I was like, I go, "Why did you just tell me that?" And he's like, "Oh, you were gonna find out in the next few episodes anyway." And I'm up to date. I was up to date at that point. I haven't watched last night's episode. But, I mean, like, the thing about that show is, like, crazy things happen all the time. So the spoilers are epic. And he just, like, he just ruined so much of Game of Thrones. I couldn't believe it. Who does that? And then he tried to tell me more. And I was like, no, please don't.
I've heard enough.
I was being really nice because, like, he's just the kind of guy, he couldn't get mad at him. Anyone who would do that is kind of, like, you can't get mad at them for it or else, it, you know, they can't help it. And he's like, oh, I was like, you really shouldn't do that to anyone else. They might get really mad at you. So I think I saved that kid's life with that piece of advice. But I just wanted to share that story because I couldn't believe it. And it would have been like, oh, hey, do you like Star Wars? Oh, yeah, gonna go see Empire Strikes Back tomorrow. Oh, yeah, it's great. Hey, by the way, he's Luke's father. Just awful. All right. Struggling studs from the weekend. Michael Pineda had a horrible start. Danny Salazar, haven't been so great lately. Bartolo Colon got roughed up. Ian Kennedy has been struggling lately. Scott Kazmir has been kind of bad recently. Mike Leake came back to earth a little bit. And Archie Bradley's 82% owned. He might be a little over-owned. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Of those names I said, anything you want to chime in on?
I think the ones for me that are impactful are Kennedy and Kazmir because it's kind of on the fringes of must start for me. And I think they're now off that, they're kicked back to, maybe
not
two.
Not must start.
Not must start. Yeah. Trying to find a more eloquent way to say it. I'm not sure what the explanation is, but, they're, kind of, I hate to say fringy because they're not guys that should be on waivers, but, in that sense, fringy enough that, I can go with more solid options. Pineda and Salazar. I know Salazar's had consistency issues before, but,
I actually think he's been very consistent this year. This was the first start I would call bad.
Yeah.
He gave up 4 earned runs in his 2 starts against the Royals back to back. But it's the Royals, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, he didn't walk anybody in either game and still had 9 strikeouts or 7-1 and 9 in the other. So those were dominant starts where he just happened to give up a fairly high number of earned runs. But yeah, this last start at Texas was just not very good.
Kind of interesting that the start for Pineda came against the Royals and just the 1 strikeout. I think you're going to see a lot of that from some very good pitchers. That's just a hard lineup to strike out.
Yeah, Pineda had no slider in that game apparently, and Salazar 6 walks, 52 strikeouts, and 37 2/3. But he has allowed 7 home runs. Does that concern anyone for Salazar?
Not really. Just because I think that's just part of what you get with him. And so there is going to be the occasional start like this, but like Scott said, so far the consistency has been so much better than what we've seen from him before that, I can only be encouraged.
He's a top 40 pitcher for me, Salazar.
Who's more over-owned? Bartolo Colon, 95%, or Archie Bradley, 82%?
Actually Archie Bradley.
Yeah, but they're both over-owned. I mean, Colon, a lot of that was just he got off to that great start in terms of win-loss record, and that's not a very good way to assess a pitcher, no matter what team he pitches for.
But he had the best walk-to-strikeout ratio in baseball. Probably still does.
Yeah, but he's not a strikeout pitcher.
Right.
Just in general. He doesn't walk anybody, I'll give him that.
And then there's the opposite. There's Andrew Cashner, who could lose 30 games this year at this rate.
Yeah, 1-7. That's unbelievable. Because this is probably his best year. He has more than a strikeout per inning this year. We've been waiting for him to do that. I think his ERA is like 3.24 or something.
Yeah.
And he's 1-7.
Wow. All right, next category. Was this encouraging? I don't really know. Steven Strasburg. 5 innings, 3 hits, or 5 hits, 3 runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. At San Diego. Was that encouraging?
It absolutely was.
Oh, good.
Because he's been sort of a tire fire. Not a dominant start, definitely not a deep start, but a big step in the right direction.
Clayton Kershaw, 6 2/3, 4 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts against Colorado. Was that
cruising
encouraging?
There till the 7th.
That's what's been happening to him, though. His ERA in the 7th inning so far this year is 15.
Yeah.
An experienced guy like that, he needs to learn to, dominate after he sees the lineup more than twice.
Julio Teheran, 5 2/3, only one earned run, one walk, five strikeouts, but 9 hits at Miami. Was that encouraging?
It wasn't a great start. I wouldn't say it was encouraging, and yet by the same token, I feel like he is due for much better things ahead, but it's not that the start really convinces me of that.
All right, that's Teheran. Here's Phil Hughes. 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts against Tampa Bay. He's had 2 starts this season, Phil Hughes, in which he's allowed less than 3 earned runs, and they were against Tampa Bay and Seattle, who entered Saturday in the bottom 4 in the AL and runs scored. I didn't check the updated stats.
You don't sound encouraged.
Look, it was a good start, but I think I've seen enough of Tampa Bay. I mean, they are terrible, and they make a lot of pitchers look really good.
And I think Hughes still allowed a home run in this game. Yeah, home run number 10 on the year. And that is a problem that he looked like he had corrected last year. I'm very concerned about Hughes. He's not somebody I think I'd be trading for unless it was a situation where his owner was on the verge of dropping him.
And Alex Wood, 7 innings, 2 runs, 1 earned. 2 walks, only 1 strikeout at Miami. Was that encouraging?
I think it was, because even though he had the 1 strikeout, he equaled a season high in swinging strikes. He had 8 of them, and that's 3 starts in a row, I think, where he's had 7-plus after, you know, having very few the first few starts. So I think he's trending the right direction here.
It's very weird, though, for Wood. That is his 3rd start this year with 1 strikeout or less.
Yeah, I think he'll go up.
Yeah, and I agree with Scott. The trends look good. He's not right where you want him to be, but he could certainly get there.
All right, next category. You buying this? Ubaldo Jimenez, we talked about. Rick Porcello, last 4 starts, he has a 2.10 ERA. And Jared Weaver, 2 really good ones in a row. And this time it was at Baltimore. Only 3 strikeouts, but 1 run on 3 hits in 7 1/3. You buying this from Porcello and Weaver?
Surprises me that Porcello is the most owned of these 3 at 86%, because I think that should be backwards.
Yeah, they're all pretty close, Porcello, Jimenez, and Weaver. Let's just average it out and say they're all at 84%.
All right.
That's Boston fans for you.
You know, the one who I think has the highest ceiling and lowest floor of this group is actually not Ubaldo, but Jared Weaver. And back-to-back really good starts. Velocity still not even to the low point, it usually, like, it's even lower than its usual low self. But, I mean, anytime, you could always treat the second start as validation of the first start. I think, I don't know. I'm not buying back into Weaver completely yet, I guess. I'm just not totally, I think he deserves to be owned again based on these 2 starts.
Weirdly enough, the guy out of the 3 I probably have the most interest in now is Ubaldo Jimenez. Because I'm very impressed by what he is doing with lesser velocity, remaking himself as a ground ball pitcher. Porcello has gone the opposite route and had formerly been a really good ground ball pitcher and not one so far this year. That makes me nervous with him, given that his strikeout rate's okay, but he's still not a big strikeout guy. And then, you know, Weaver, you know, he's not, I think we talked a week or two ago about him being sort of done, and I think maybe we overreacted a bit, but I'm not really interested in him.
Okay, let's go through this next stuff really quickly, then we'll read some emails and we'll finish with some DFS advice.
Alrighty.
Fringy starting pitchers part 1. These guys are owned in 65% to 79% of leagues. And give me your top 3 from Carlos Rodon, James Paxton, Matt Shoemaker, Henderson Alvarez, Chris Heston, Clay Buchholz, and Kobe Lewis.
All right, well, I know I'm going Rodon over Buchholz, so we've established that. Boy, that is tough after that. I think I'm going to go, Alvarez, Paxton, Rodon.
Huh.
I'd like to get Heston there, but I think I still, I know Alvarez 2 out of 3 starts has not been good, but
his velocity is down too.
Yeah,
even coming back from the DL, and that concerns me because like it just seems like there's a thin margin for error for him.
Sorry, so Scott, who's your 3?
Yeah, sorry. I actually like Heston number one of this group, and then Rodon, and then Shoemaker. So I guess Rodon was the only one that was on both our lists.
Yeah, and I would have liked to have gotten Heston on there. He's right, pretty much right there with Paxton and Alvarez.
Frenchie starting pitchers part two, a little bit deeper now. Jay Happ, Jesse Chavez, R.A. Dickey, C.C. Sabathia, Danny Duffy, Willie Peralta, Wei-Yin Chen.
Wei-Yin. Want to weigh in on this one.
Yeah, he's pitching well. 2.53 ERA for Chen.
He's probably in my top three. Just look him over. Okay, so, points leagues, Jesse Chavez would have to be number one with the relief pitcher eligibility. So, but taking that out of the equation, I think I would go Chen, one. And then maybe Sabathia, two, and Chavez, three. Haps.
Poor J-Hap.
Yeah.
I go Chavez, Hap, Chen.
And this is what we're talking about when we look at starting pitching depth. It's just not that great. Frenchie starting pitchers part three, Kyle Gibson, Chase Anderson, Kyle Loesch. They're owned in 30 to 40% of leagues. Any interest in Gibson,
are we not
Anderson?
Top three here?
top one, Gibson, Anderson, or Loesch?
Anderson.
Top one, huh?
Yeah.
I actually like Loesch better than some on the last list, so he would be my one.
Okay. And in deep leagues, do you like Scott Feldman or Mike Bolsinger? I think we talked about them.
I go Feldman.
I'm just saying no.
Okay. Emails. Newt Joseph from Yazoo City, Missouri. Dear Lem, Dutch, and Danny. The key to my heart, a Shield reference. Melky, he's got an outfield dilemma, does Newt. Melky Cabrera, Michael Kadire, Carlos Gonzalez. They platoon for Newt's third and fourth outfielder spots. That's Melky, Kadire, and Cargo, the old Cargo. So now that Pence is off the DL and Rusne Castillo, who's also on his team, is closer to being called up. Like, which four outfield, what would you do? Like, who would you keep?
Well, I don't know that Castillo is on the verge here of getting called up, but Pence absolutely has to be in. He is the top. He's much better than Cabrera, Kadire, and Carlos Gonzalez, I would say, at this point. So, he's in. I think I would go with Cargo more often than not of those other three. Every time he's at home, and then on the road, whenever they're facing, whenever they're facing fewer than three lefties, I think I would go with Cargo.
Yeah, so I agree about Pence, and to get him active, Kadire would be benched for me.
Okay, from Quincy. 12-team head-to-head categories league. Who of the following hot potatoes do you like for the next week or so? Shin-Soo Choo, Marlon Byrd, Dexter Fowler, Michael Taylor. Shin-Soo Choo, Marlon Byrd, Dexter Fowler, Michael Taylor. Just short term here.
Okay.
I'm thinking Fowler.
Well, he's the one with that I think has the most long-term appeal. I do like Choo's matchups this week, and he's obviously a very hot potato. I don't like Byrd's matchups. I would probably go Fowler because there's the best chance of you keeping him after this week.
From Justo, which starting pitcher do you like most for this week? A two-start Jimmy Nelson or one-start Phil Hughes, Ubaldo Jimenez, Ian Kennedy, or pick up De La Rosa or Carlos Frias, who have two starts?
Actually like De La Rosa the best out of those, but it's pretty close between him, Frias, and Nelson. And I know Nelson last four starts has not been good, but he's got really great matchups this week because he's hardly going to face any lefties, and that's who's been killing him.
Yeah, I'd go for the two-start guy. Does De La Rosa have two starts also?
Yeah, and Frias does too.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think you can go too wrong with any of the three of the two-start guys, but I give a slight edge to RDLR.
And Mike from Rhode Island. Dear Cargo, Cargo, and S-Cargo. So I sit Carlos Gomez for Carlos Gonzalez this week.
Ugh. No.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No, the good Cargo should be okay. And Kyle says, Rusne Castillo and Corey Dickerson were both dropped in my 10-team points league.
What?
Would you drop Chu or Carlos Gonzalez for either of them, for Rusne or Corey Dickerson?
I would drop in a, this is 10 teams, so I wouldn't do this in anything deeper, but I would drop Chu for Dickerson.
But keep in mind that Dickerson might go on the DL. Right, I think it's still worth doing.
I would, you know, then he'll come off the DL. I would want to have him stashed.
So you wouldn't, like, if Dickerson was out there in a 16-team league, you want to drop Chu for him?
A 16-team league, there's got to be a better, a better option.
Oh, better, worst player on your bench to drop.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if for some weird reason that was my best option, I would do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, Dickerson's better than Chu.
Yeah.
He's what we're saying.
Okie dokie. Let's talk DFS really quickly here. And I'll let you guys decide. I'm not sure if you've looked at the slate yet, but I will read you the pitchers for the night slate. And, okay, there are six games. I thought there were five. Excuse me. There are six. Got Matt Harvey, against the Cardinals. Chris Sale and Corey Kluber facing each other. And then Cole Hamels. And these guys are within $1,000 of each other. I think we can eliminate Hamels, right? At Colorado.
At Colorado, that's a deal breaker.
So Matt Harvey for 10,600, Chris Sale for 10,000, or Corey Kluber for 9,800. If you were going to go expensive at pitcher, who would you take?
Who's Harvey facing?
He's facing St. Louis at home, and Sale and Kluber are facing each other in Chicago.
Lackey.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, because I have him from me. Could you go over the Kluber and Sale prices one more time?
Yeah, Harvey's 10,600, Sale's 10,000, and Kluber's 9,800.
Yeah, I think I would go a little extra for Harvey.
I might go Kluber there.
Okay.
Honestly, it's probably a situation where I'd go half Harvey, half Kluber.
Now, if you want to go cheaper, it's kind of tough. There's no way I'm starting John Lackey at the Mets.
Nope.
You never know. He doesn't strike guys out, and he's bad on the road. Dan Haren, 7,800 against Arizona. Mike Fier, 7,400 at Detroit. Ruby De La Rosa, 6,800 at Miami. It's kind of intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Pomeranz, 6,400 at Houston. We know they strike out a ton.
Yeah.
And then it's hard to really go with Kyle Obstein or Jordan Lyles.
Lance McCullers, major league debut tonight, 4,600.
Oh, that's why I didn't see him. I didn't even filter by pitchers. I just filtered by most expensive. So there are actually outfielders that are more expensive than him.
I think if I were going cheap, I might try that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got, okay, the only thing that made me hesitate with him is Oakland's really good against righties, and he is a righty.
Yeah.
But I totally. Oh,
it's a lineup you're setting in a tournament, expecting it to not pay off. But if it does pay off, it potentially could in a big way with the kind of hitters you could put in with him.
There are a few players that I put in my line. I set a lineup this morning. I don't love it, so I don't really recommend following. I got to tweak it a little bit. It's hard. The fewer games there are, the harder it is, in my opinion. But Billy Burns is in my lineup, $2,500. And Michael Franco is in my lineup. He's at Colorado, and he's $2,200.
Nice.
So I think, these are
good one.
Because I have Harvey. Harvey's my pitcher, so I went cheap with Burns, who hopefully will lead off against a rookie pitcher, make it his major league debut, and Franco at Colorado. Christian Yelich is $2,900. He's been struggling, but Ruby De La Rosa's kind of bad against lefties, and I don't know, Al. I feel like new manager bump. Maybe the Marlins play a little bit better today.
They'll be motivated.
It's work for the Brewers, right?
General manager.
I kind of like the Mets today, just against Lackey. I just don't know. Like, they don't really have that many good hitters, but I went with Plawecki to save money at catcher, and Lucas Duda's only 3,000 at first base. Maybe go with Granderson or something like that, but I think he has bad numbers against Lackey. I don't know.
You know, looking at the pitchers who are going tonight, which, you know, there's only 12?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so the bad ones are obviously Jordan Lyles against the Phillies in Colorado and Kyle Lobstein. Those are the only pitchers who I feel like, okay, I can start. I can be sure the team that's facing them is going to have a high scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
As sure as you can be of anything in baseball. But it's the Brewers and the Phillies, and like, what hitters are you excited to start from those lineups?
Right, who are going to be cheap? Who are going to be bargains? You know, and like, you could go with Gomez, but it's going to cost you, and he's got a concussion. He may not even play.
Yeah,
or no, he doesn't have a concussion. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, now Lind, he might not even start.
Right. Yeah, against lefty.
Lefty.
Right.
You could try Chris Davis, but I don't know that you want to do that.
No, I mean, that's, I would probably get my expensive hitters from those games. Like, well, Franco's not even an expensive hitter. I think he would be, I think he's going to be a must start today without having looked at the whole third base position yet, just because of the, you know,
it's pretty bad.
There's not many bad pitchers.
It's pretty bad third base today.
Yeah.
And the problem, Scott, is that the, you know, the Phillies hitters, they have a bump. Like Ryan Howard, I was thinking about starting, but I think he's $400 more expensive than Duda because they've got the Colorado bump. So it's not even like you're getting bargains, really.
What's Odubel's price?
Let's find out.
Yeah, those are like the only three hitters. Odubel's, 3,000.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a,
which is,
that's okay.
I'd rather have Billy Burns for 2,500. You know, I'd rather have Billy Burns and save $500 than
I would too. Yeah. I would too.
Okay, just two other things here. Michael Brantley is the most expensive outfielder. Jason Kipnis is the most expensive second baseman. Kipnis has decent numbers against Sale, but I think it's pretty obvious you should avoid them today. Right. Lefties never do well against Chris Sale. Brantley's 3-for-22. And that's all I got. All right, last thing. Corey Kluber is facing Jose Abreu. 8-for-21 with 2 home runs and 2 doubles in his career against Kluber. What do you think about that? You know, he's a great pitcher, but Abreu's kind of had his number.
Yeah. Well,
what's the price? That's the key for me.
Abreu is expensive, $3,700. I think the BVP stuff, like, you just can't talk me into it when the P is somebody of that caliber.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Duda's got to be a better bargain, right?
Yeah, he's $700 cheaper. He's facing Lackey.
There we go.
Yeah, $3,000, yeah.
Guys, thank you very much. DFS, Daily Fantasy Live, tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. Catch it on CBSSports.com. For Al Melchior and Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. Adios.